this evening. We'll get right in the scripture. And I'm going to let you remain. Won't ask you if you're willing and able to stand. I'll let you just purposefully remain seated tonight because I want to read the whole chapter. And don't get too nervous. Maybe you should be. I don't know. Amen. It's 33 verses. And so that's a lot of verses. I read four this morning. I don't know how long I preached, according to how some people look, about 3.5 hours. I don't think it's that long, but some of y'all look like it was that long. These are 33 verses, but I want to take maybe a broad look through this chapter and give you some truths tonight as the Lord laid them on our heart. Even on last Sunday, I really needed something from the Lord last Sunday morning, and I won't go into any of that other than say I needed something from God personally. I needed something more than just a preacher could give to me. And the Lord gave me just one truth out of John 16. I actually shared that in passing last Sunday morning, but all week long the Lord has just brought me back to it and let me see some things and develop this in my own heart. And I'll be honest, where I am right now, this is about what is on my heart to share with you. And so we trust that the Lord will take this and use it to be a blessing and help to you tonight. And so let's just see how it gets thrown out. And if the Lord can maybe put something in your heart. If I need this, I'm sure likely somebody else needs this evening. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. And let's read the chapter, and I'll get right after it. The Bible said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you," listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I know what I am telling you and what I'm teaching you and preaching to you. It has caused sorrow. Sorrow hath filled your heart." Jesus said, "I know that what I'm telling you and the thoughts about these things that are coming your way, that it brings sorrow and trouble to your heart. Nevertheless," verse 7, "nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you see, she shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. In other words, Lord, we see it already. We hear what you're saying. Now are we sure, I like that, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's talking to men that he just acknowledged earlier in the chapter. I know that your heart right now is full of sorrow. Now he has the audacity to tell them, be of good cheer. Why? Not because you're anything, but because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Amen. What a chapter tonight. We understand in setting the context of this chapter that we are now brought into the upper room. The Lord's most intimate time he'd ever have with his disciples. He is going to do things in the upper room. He's going to teach things in the upper room that he never done or taught in any other setting. This is he sharing his heart as their Savior and Lord with them about where they are in the present hour and what is coming into their life in days to come. This discourse, it is found in John 13 through 16. It is the preparations of the Savior toward his disciples and upon his church in preparing them, and may I say even as relating to you and I as it is tonight, it is our preparation for the things that you and I face still in this world in which we live. And so the Lord in this upper room experience and discourse and message is going to give them many, many things and many, many truths. And it's amazing that in four chapters it's just contained experiences and lessons and doctrine that is contained in just a few hours at the most that is very detailed for you and I to glean from much of Christ's teaching in that upper room. And that's what we're interested in tonight, is the teaching aspect of it. That we understand that much of it in this setting is positive and for their encouragement. The Lord is going to teach them about heaven and the Father's house, and he's going to give them positive truths about he's the vine, and And he is going to display for them no greater love that any man has ever given to another, and that he'll lay down his life for them. And he's going to wash their feet, and he's going to love on them and communicate things that are of an encouraging and positive nature to them. Much of that is, and yet some truths that are found in that hour of listening to Jesus and being at Jesus' feet in the upper room, there were some truths, I won't call them negative tonight, but there were some things Jesus taught them and exposed them to that no doubt troubled the heart of his disciples. I believe we see that, and it's not my goal tonight to really belabor anything other than chapter 16 and even a broad view of that text tonight, but I will back up and remind you that Jesus said in John 14:1, understanding that he was going to teach him some things that would trouble them, he addressed that and dealt with that in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. He understood that there were things he was getting ready to have to tell them that was going to trouble them, that was going to bother them, and that if they received it in and of their flesh and by their emotions, that it would produce sorrow and trouble within them. And so he addresses that, but even likely before he gets into much of that, about what is going to happen, what is coming their way, and dealing with tribulations and things that is going to touch their life. Jesus knew some of what he was going to say would indeed bring trouble into their heart. And I believe we see that manifested when we come into John chapter number 16 in the verses that we've read tonight. A few things about a troubled heart that I want to draw out just to get us to our thought quickly tonight. I see in the opening four verses of this chapter the reason for a troubled heart. The reason, and it's kind of a continuation of some things that he had dealt with in chapter number 14 that he acknowledges again in these opening verses. That is simply this: there is going to be sorrow and persecution and suffering that you endure while you are in the world. Everything has not been just wonderful since Jesus has come into their life. In the last 3.5 years, they've walked with him and they've been with him. They've been scorned to a degree. They have been mistreated alongside of the Savior. But he reminds them that there are days that lie ahead that the world is going to turn against them the same way that they turned against the Son of God. He says, they've hated me and they're going to hate you. They've done me wrong and lied on me. They're going to do you wrong and lie on you. And he reminds them that all of this is because those that are outside of the family of God and outside of faith and outside of saving grace, that they live their life cloaked, robed in a cloak of sin. And so they're not interested, listen, they're not interested in knowing about sin. What is our job as the church? It's to shine the light. And it's to, my friend, tell the world that they are sinners and that they're in need of a Savior and that they need to repent and turn to God and get saved. But they don't receive that. And in fact, they not only don't receive it, but they bring sorrow into our life because of their rejection of that truth. And so the reason for a troubled heart is simply this. You're going to know trouble in your life. Amen. Hey, listen, the trouble we face in life troubles our heart. Nobody gets a joy out of being mistreated. Nobody gets any pleasure. I don't think you would. And if you do, we'll take you down the hospital. I think they got a couple padded rooms. They may be occupied. Amen. But you got to be crazy to enjoy being done wrong and mistreated. And yet Jesus said, you as my church and as my disciples, I understand that these things are going to trouble your heart. I'm not saying this to offend you, but get ready. You are going to have a troubled heart. You're going to have sleepless nights. You're going to have tear-filled days. There are going to be days you don't understand why people are the way they are. But mark it down, these things are coming your way. And the idea is simply this, that even those that are the closest to you are going to be the ones that turn their back on the gospel and turn their back on truth. And when they do that, mark it down, there's no bound. If they'll turn on God, they'll turn on you. And if they'll turn against truth, then my friend, they won't care about your relationship. And the idea is simply this, those that know you best and those that are of the world still yet in their sin, that they'll put you out of the synagogue. They'll try to shut you down, shut you out, and ultimately shut you up, even nigh to the point of killing you. And Jesus said, I understand that that would cause you to enter into the realm of being trouble-hearted. The reason for a troubled heart, let's face it tonight, everybody here knows the reality of trouble in life. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We understand the Bible said, many be the troubles of the righteous. And so tonight, we're going to have to learn how, amen, to go through life understanding these things are going to happen. And Jesus acknowledges the sorrow that is in the heart of these men. And the reason for that trouble is the message that they are going to face persecution and sorrow in life. Notice with me the response of a troubled heart. In verse 5, Jesus said, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? I call this the response of a troubled heart. At the news and at the troubling of their heart, and this is rare in the life of the disciples, that none of them have anything to say, that they are in silence. The reason for a troubled heart is sorrow, or suffering, and the response of a troubled heart, when our heart begins to be troubled, listen, if we're not careful, we'll respond in silence to the God and the Lord and Savior that we're to be in relationship with. Jesus said, I know what I'm telling you, it's touched you in your heart. I know what I've told you has brought troubled emotions and troubled feelings and has broke you down. And Jesus calls them out for their silence, that in this they are not engaging the Lord. And this has been a temptation even in my life in recent days, in being trouble-hearted and not understanding what is going on and understanding things that are painful in life that touch your heart and touch your life and things that you know God could have kept you from or could have made different than what they are, then if we're not careful, we'll fall into that emotion of a troubled heart and we'll wind up having nothing to say to the Lord and Savior, who is the one we ought to be talking to. Amen. I've watched the temptation and pull in my own life. I've watched it to greater degrees in other people's life as they would just make shipwreck of their faith because they did not respond right to a troubled heart or some sort of pain or disappointment in their life, as though we would blame God. And I know we're not supposed to do that. Amen. But these disciples, Jesus said in verse 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And there's a connection, Brother Jack, that even Jesus points out that they're almost blaming Jesus for what Jesus has said and Jesus has done. And the plan Jesus is laying out for their life about what they're going to go through, that they are now offended at the Lord in this moment, to the point and in their response in a troubled heart, is to treat the Lord with the silent treatment. Amen. And that's a terrible thing. Amen. I don't have time to elaborate. I want to deal with the remedy for a troubled heart. Here is the remedy in the midst of the reasons for a troubled heart that we all experience, and the response that would nigh lead any of us into jeopardy tonight. That is to remain in silence with the Lord and offended at the Lord because of whatever the situation is in our life. I'm glad tonight there is a remedy as our feelings began to take over, as our emotions began to be entwined into that cause or that reason for our troubled heart. Here's what Jesus said: I know where you are. I know your heart is full of trouble. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And so my point is this tonight concerning the remedy for a troubled heart. And it's simply this: the answer for our sorrow and troubled heart is to remember that it is Jesus who tells the truth. Why would Jesus say that? It's more than a reiteration of dogmatically declaring that he's told them the truth. It is, I think it's him reminding them, I know that what I have told you, and you are looking down the road to these things coming into your life, and you are responding in a wrong way even to the declaration about these things. And now the world and the devil and your own flesh are speaking things into your life about the troubled heart that you have. And can I remind you tonight, the world never tells the truth. And the devil is said to be the father of every lie. May I say tonight, even our own flesh and the seedbed of our own emotion tonight, we need to understand that the voice that comes from feeling and emotion, oftentimes it speaks words of error and falsehood and speaks outside of the bounds of truth. Jesus said, understand, I know when your heart is full of trouble and sorrow has filled your life. Amen. I know when your emotions are getting away from you. I know when you feel that it'll never end and it's hopeless. And you feel like even the Savior has done you wrong. Amen. The Lord is saying, don't ever forget this, and I will be the voice of truth to settle your troubled heart. Amen. A troubled heart grows where lies are listened to, where we allow emotion and feeling to prevail. My friend, listen, the troubled heart just gets more troubled. More turbulence is brought to the inwardness of our soul. Our spirit will never know peace so long as we're listening to what the world and the flesh and the devil is saying to you and I and stirring our emotions about anything that we're going through. But Jesus said, nevertheless, in spite of everything every other voice is telling you, find the voice of God in the midst of what you're going through and listen for the voice of the Savior, because Jesus said, I'll never lie to you, I'll never deceive you, I will never tell you anything other than the truth. Amen. And so tonight, here's what I want to deal with quickly out of this chapter. The remainder of the chapter is simply this: truths for a troubled heart, for the troubled hearted. Truths for the troubled hearted. Jesus acknowledges that their heart is full. He done told them not to be, but by the way, we ought not to be troubled hearted. We know what the Bible has to say. We know what to expect. Let's be honest, we ain't much better than the disciples. A lot of times we get worked up, knowing we ought not be worked up, And Jesus has to remind us again that he has the truths for the trouble-hearted. There's some things he's going to teach them in the following verses. Amen. From this statement, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Amen. Can I give some of those remedies to you? The truth that the Lord lays upon them to help them. Amen. Though they be the trouble-hearted. I believe tonight that number one, he's going to give them a truth about a comfort that is to be experienced. A comfort that is to be experienced. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And immediately, Brother Riley, he'll go into the fact that there is one in the Holy Ghost called the Comforter. The Comforter's going to be sent, though there is the expectation of sorrow and trouble and mistreatment and lies and things that touch their life that is going to trouble their heart. Jesus said, I want you to know, fellas, I tell you the truth. And there's a truth for the trouble-hearted, and there is a comfort that is experienced. I'm glad in the world that we're living in and everything we face, as God's children, there's a comfort that goes beyond anything that the world can throw our way, any battle the devil and the gates of hell would bring against us. I'm here to tell you this evening, however that would trouble our heart, whatever season of troubling and sorrow and fear and worry and angst and anxiety and depression and we would be tempted to fall prey to tonight, I'm here to tell us tonight in the Spirit of God, there is a companion tonight that gives a comfort. That is the experience of every child of God. No matter what the world says, no matter, my friend, what the situation says, Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm not going to be with you. I won't be here to talk to you. I won't be here to hold your hand. I won't be here to put my arms around you. And I'm sending the Spirit of God, and he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And that when he comes, he's coming with a comfort ministry to bestow upon those that be the trouble-hearted. Tonight, we don't need a how-to for dummies book tonight to help us make it through the Christian life. My friend, we don't need some kind of external handout that, and we don't need, my friend, some program that, and some group think organization to tell us everything's going to be all right. Here's what I know in times of being a part of the children of God that enter the seasons and the trouble-hearted seasons of life. And Brother Jack, there's one on the inside, amen, that Jesus said of a truth. He is going to comfort your heart. He's going to comfort your life. Amen. And when you feel like it's been busted into a million pieces and disappointment prevails over the way and a situation has turned out or somebody has betrayed you and somebody has walked away and you don't know what to do with that troubled heart, ain't you glad tonight there is a comfort that every child of God can know in this hour? The comfort in the midnight hour by the Spirit of God is an amazing experience in the Christian life. Amen. I see here several things about this comfort. I may not make it out of this first point, but amen, let's see what we can do. Now, I see, amen, there's the grace. There is the comfort of grace. Amen. Jesus said, we preached on it last Sunday morning, so I won't belabor the point. And here's what he said, the Holy Ghost. He's coming in the world to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's here to convict the world over how wicked, and Sissy said this morning in testimony, how wretched the world is, and the only way of salvation is the righteousness found in Jesus Christ. And my friend, to show the world that there's a judgment day for every sinner. Hellfire awaits every man and every woman that rejects the grace of God. That's the Holy Ghost's job in this world, is to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You say, preacher, where is the comfort in all of that? Here is the I call it the comfort of grace for the troubled-hearted. It is that I remember the day that I got troubled about what I was, and I got troubled about my sin, and I got tired of what I was on the inside, and I got tired of what sin was doing to me. I got tired of living under the threat of the judgment of God, and the Spirit of God convinced me and convicted me and troubled me about all of that. The moment that I turned to the Lord Jesus and said, all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I believe I am a sinner. I know I deserve hell. And I believe that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And I'm a one of them sinners. And I believe by faith that you'll save me if I call on you. And I'm calling it. And you know what happened in that very moment of time? The Spirit of God ministered the comfort of grace. I can't explain it. It's not something really you can explain, but you can experience it. And if you have experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. When I rolled out of the bed, amen, September the 14th, 1996, under old time Holy Ghost conviction, troubled about my sin, troubled about my path on the road to hell. Amen. When I called on the Lord to save me, all of a sudden there was a comfort and a peace of the grace of God that flooded my soul and let me know everything was all right now. Amen. You say, well, that was 28 years ago, preacher. Yeah, but that same comfort's still there. Amen. That comfort ain't gone away. Amen. And I've been out of sorts with God, and He's had to beat me up one side and down the other. Amen. There's a path, Brother Larry wore out to the woods shed. Amen. Where God has had to chase me back in line. But there abides tonight the comfort of grace in my life, that no matter how bad things get, all these 28 years later, they'll never be as bad as they were. Whatever trouble touches my life, whatever trouble my friend, my heart expresses and feels that, and the emotions about whatever the season is of life, there is an abiding faith called the comfort of grace. It reminds me you're not what you used to be. At least you're not on a road to hell. At least Jesus reached down and saved you. And I'm glad tonight, and there is the comfort of grace and abides for those that be the trouble-hearted tonight. Amen. That helps me tonight. I hope that makes sense. I see it clear. It just jumps off the page to me tonight. And my friend, this world is troubled more than they realize. And would to God they'd get more troubled over their sin and get bothered about it. Because if they ever did, there is a Savior who would save them if they turned to Him. They could experience the comfort of grace. And can you imagine? Amen. I've been to some places and had some experiences that were so peaceful and wonderful. But you know what is true of every one of those experiences outside of getting saved? They all come to an end. Amen. I can remember some of the peaceful times out on the lake all by myself, birds singing and catching big bass. Somebody say amen. I can remember that. And in the moment, it was so comforting and peaceful. But sooner or later, sun goes down. You got to put the boat back on the trailer and go back home to life. Are y'all listening? They've been days in a deer stand. I've spent 12 hours a day in a deer stand, and to do so in a couple weeks if the Lord will let me do it. Amen. And it'll be so, some of y'all say that don't sound peaceful at all. And Brother Lucas, it'll be one of the most peaceful things as far as an experience and an activity as I'll do all year long. Sit there all day just hanging out of a tree waiting on the big one to come by. And whether it comes by or not, I'll just sit there and it'll be comforting and peaceful. The phone won't be ringing. Amen. And I'll enjoy that. But you know what? The week will come to an end. I'll have to load my truck, drive back from Ohio,
and come back to life.
And that peace and that comfort, that experience, it'll be gone when the time's out. But I'm talking about a comfort of grace that ain't ever left me. I've never stopped experiencing it in 28 years. Amen. And through every season, every up and every down, every storm and every sunshiny day, there is a comfort of grace that abides. Amen. Whereby the Spirit of God, my comforter, reminds me that by the grace of the Lord Jesus, Brother Kendall, that all is well between me and the Lord. Amen. At least I'm not headed to hell still. Amen. At least I don't belong to the devil anymore. At least my life has been washed and cleansed and cleaned by the power of the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. The comfort of grace. There's the comfort of guidance that is found in verse number 12 in the first part of verse 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. I'm talking about the comfort of guidance. It comes, my friend, by the Spirit of God. Not only a comfort of grace that took place the day I got saved and has been abiding and has remained, that has been steadfast in my life all these years. There is the comfort tonight that I am not in charge of my own life, and I've been entrusted to the Spirit of God. I don't have to, my friend, do a finger in the wind to figure out what to do. I don't have to listen to the voices of the majority tonight. I'm not looking, my friend, to float downstream. And thank God there's the comfort of knowing that the Spirit of God is guiding my steps. Here's what the Old Testament said. Amen. Before we ever was taught this in the Word of God, David said, the steps of a good man, and they are ordered by the Lord. And He may lead you through the flood. He may lead you in the fire. He may lead you, my friend, through great storms. And if you know that the Spirit of God is guiding the way, there is comfort tonight. Oh, I wish somebody would help me this evening. Amen. I might get some help tonight. Amen. The comfort of guidance to know that if He's the one leading the way, everything's going to be all right. Amen. He may be leading, amen, through the trouble to the trouble. Amen. He may be leading you to the trouble, but if He leads you to the trouble, He'll lead you through the trouble. He never brings us, amen, to the seasons of hardship and the things that trouble our life and then make us the trouble-hearted. My friend, oh no, He doesn't bring us there. That would be at the end of us and the jeopardy of us. Oh friend, He brings us there for His name's sake and righteousness' sake, and He expects us to rest in the comfort of His guidance in our life. Amen. Sometimes we can't see Him, and sometimes we can't feel Him. Amen. Somebody said, when you cannot trace His guiding hand, just trust it anyway. And I tell you tonight, I've had to live through that. Amen. Things I don't know what to do, how to respond, how to deal with, how to make it through. Amen. Things I'd have never dreamed I'd ever be going through. Amen. My life tonight has encountered along the way. And I'm telling you, I've been to that trouble-hearted place. But I'm glad tonight the Lord tells the truth about a comfort that is experienced. And it's the comfort of grace, and it's the comfort of guidance. And we can rest assured that the Lord is going by the Spirit of God to guide us and lead us safely home to heaven one day. The comfort of guidance. You are troubled, your heart is full of sorrow, but there is a comfort that is experienced. And the comfort of grace and guidance, my friend, is an invaluable, immeasurable comfort that we have available to us, though we be the trouble-hearted. It's the comfort tonight in the text of what I'll call the comfort of glorifying. Here's what the Lord said to this one known as the Spirit of God
in our life and with our life as we live from day to day. Amen. Oh, for every season, even the troubled seasons and the heart filled with sorrow seasons. Here's what Jesus said, for he shall not speak of himself. Amen. He's talking about our comforter now. He said, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He's going to, amen, the old English word would be shew, we'd call it show. But Brother Mike, I looked up that word and it literally means, amen, to announce, amen, to announce or to publish in totality. In other words, Jesus said there are some things, amen, the Spirit of God is going to say and announce into your life. There are things, now the word he's going to use in the next verse is glorify. He shall glorify, amen. And so when he's announcing, the word glorify has the idea, Mr. Ronnie, it has the idea of making something or someone big. Jesus said, here's what he's going to show you. Here's what he's going to glorify me. He's going to make me big in your life. He's going to take your Lord and Savior and he's going to shine the light on him and he's going to tell you things about him and he's going to teach you things about me. He's going to magnify things about me so that your relationship with me as your Lord and Savior will be a comfort to your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight for the comfort of the glorifying and glorifying that the Spirit of God does in my life. I'm glad tonight that I know that my Savior is faithful. I'm glad to know tonight in my heart, even though my heart may be troubled, that the Spirit of God has a way of coming by and announcing and re-announcing and testifying and witnessing to you and that. And our Savior is faithful. Our Savior is big enough to handle it. Our Savior is still in charge. Our Savior is still in control. And there is comfort in the Spirit of God when he glorifies Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. I can't tell you how many days I knew it was bigger than me. Brother Jack, I can't tell you how many battles and I was too weak to fight. And it was the Spirit of God that comforted me in the battle and reminded me that my Savior is undefeated and my Lord is a champion. Thank God tonight and as he has glorified those truths of Jesus and who he is in my life, there is a comfort that can flood even the most trouble-hearted disciple tonight. Sometimes you just got to have the Holy Ghost come by and say, hey, Jesus has got this. Amen. There's times you've got to allow the Holy Ghost to come by and say, Jesus will be more than enough for this situation to. Is this making any sense? I told you it's in my heart. I hope it's coming out. Now, I don't know what you're facing tonight. I know what, amen, some things I've faced in recent days. Amen, things I can't even hardly talk about. Amen, I can't even think about it. Preaching tonight, I go break down crying. And, amen, that old troubled heart to start saying things. But you know what I've been learning the last couple weeks? Even with them tears, hot tears coming off my cheek, rolling into my pillow at night. You know what I've learned, Brother Larry? The Spirit of God will come by and say, I know your heart's full of sorrow. Jesus just wants you to know he sees those tears. Whew. Hallelujah. Spirit of God coming to me and saying, your Savior knows where you're at and what you're going through. He just wants you to know he's got your back. And everybody else may walk away and you may be facing things that are maybe even a part of some of your worst nightmares. But Jesus wants you to know he's going to walk with you all the way through it. Are y'all listening tonight? And I'm telling you, when you're in a world that is full, amen, of days that we're pulled into being the trouble-hearted, ain't you glad tonight there is a comfort, a truth for the trouble-hearted? That there is a comfort that is experienced. You think about where you'd be, you'd have quit a long time ago had it not been for the Holy Ghost. You ain't here tonight. You ain't weathered your storms because you're a super-duper spiritual giant. You're here tonight because the ministry of the Holy Ghost is to comfort us with grace, with guidance, and glorifying the Lord Jesus and letting us know our Savior is more than enough. There's a comfort to be experienced. We could go on in the text tonight. I'm not preaching it tonight. We'll see. I don't even know if I'll ever preach this again. Maybe that's what the Lord wanted. But Jesus says this. He said, here's a truth for you that are trouble-hearted. There's not only a comfort to be experienced, but there is a coming to be expected. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. In a little while you see me not, but then in a little while after that you see me again. I'm about to run. Brother Mike, amen, you just, amen, shout a while and close the service down in prayer. If I take off running now, I may not come back. There's a coming that is expected. There is a truth in that for the trouble-hearted that it will not always be the way that it is now. In the world ye shall have tribulation. For a little while, I wanted to deal with the timing in this waiting. We're waiting. But while we're waiting, there's a truth for our troubled heart. Jesus is coming again. Here's the time. Are y'all ready for this? Just a little while. That's what he said, Bryson. He said, it's just a little while. Let's be honest. Does it not feel so long some days? It does. But according to what Jesus said, he said, it's just a little while. Amen. I deal with the travail in the waiting. Amen. I won't, but we could. The triumph in the waiting is simply this. Ye shall see me again. I'm going to bring you to the Father's house. And on the other side, you're going to stand in absolute joy with every season and every day of a troubled heart behind you. To enter into eternity, never to know a troubled heart again. Amen. There's a coming that is expected. That's right. There's a communication that is, I'm going to use a word, we don't use it much, but we could use expedient or expeditious. It's needed in your life. It's so needed in your life. Jesus talks about prayer and asking the Father in the name of Jesus. On those trouble-hearted days, he's telling him, you commune to your Father in my name and you ask him what you will and he will do things for you that you'll never see anybody else do for you. Ain't that a blessing? And I'm telling you, that's a truth for the trouble-hearted tonight to lay hold on, to give us hope and steadfastness in a world. Where my friend, let's be honest, they some days we feel like our brains is getting beat out. But if you are a disciple and a child of God, you have a communion tonight with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ in His name and by His blood. That though the armies of the world and the gates of hell should try to stand in your way, they cannot prevent you from having communion with your Heavenly Father. Amen. And if you can ask it, understand tonight you're asking one who can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Are you listening? I don't know. Surely I'm not the only one in here tonight that needs this. Surely tonight there's other of God's people that know what it is to say, yeah,
I've been the trouble-hearted. And thank God it ain't always like that. Thank God I'm not poor-mouthing the Christian life. The Christian life's a wonderful life. Sometimes our emotions get the best of us. We start listening to what our feelings say. Jesus said, listen, I know where you're at. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Amen. If you'll plug into these truths, even though you're trouble-hearted, you'll find a hope that will sustain you to the last mile of your journey. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Let's have invitation tonight, Brother Riley. Can you give that youngin' up? I'll hold her if you want me to. I'll arm wrestle Debbie. I ain't scared. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I feel like the Lord's tried to speak to us. There may be somebody here tonight. I'm telling you, while I was preaching a minute ago about the grace of God and salvation, felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, just make this big. Make this big tonight for somebody who's listening that's not saved. Can I tell you tonight, the Spirit of God can comfort you. When you pillow your head at night and you know you're not ready to meet God and leave this world and die in the shape you're in, and that bothers you when you're all alone, if you'll come down tonight, get on this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I believe everything that preacher told me out of your word tonight. I am a sinner. I do deserve hell, and I'm headed there in the shape I'm in. But I'm asking you to save my life. Bring me in the family of God. I'm telling you tonight, all that trouble that you've been having thinking about sin and going to hell and the judgment of God and all associated with that, the comfort of grace can be bestowed upon your life and your heart in ways this preacher does not have the vocabulary and language to express to you tonight what the Spirit of God can do. Amen. Can be gone. Listen, the troubled heart about sin and judgment can be gone just like that. If you're a child of God here tonight, amen, we preach mainly to you. And I'm telling you this evening, you can get on this altar and find some help from the Lord for whatever's got you worked up and emotional and operating in the realm of how in the world am I going to get out of this? The Spirit of God is a guide. The Spirit of God wants you to know tonight Jesus is enough. He wants to glorify Jesus in our life if we'll let Him. I believe He'd do it for us if we'd ask. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Riley's beginning to play. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know every need tonight. You know, Lord, those that are here. I know this, Lord. You know every person in this building. You know the ones that are saved and you know the ones that are not. You know the ones tonight that have made peace with God and have the peace of God. Lord, abounding in their life by way of the grace of God in that moment of time that they, by faith, called on the Lord and got saved. Lord, tonight you know the ones that went to bed last night worried about where they'd be if they died in their sleep. You knew the ones that woke up this morning troubled, wondering how in the world do I ever make things right with God. Lord, tonight it may be one that listened by the radio. It may be one that watched the live stream. It may be one tonight or more that's in the building tonight. Lord, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would do His drawing work. Let them know as He reproves them that there is a path to comfort. They don't have to be troubled anymore. Pray you do the work tonight in sinner and saint alike. In Jesus' name we pray.